Let's pray together.
Gracious Father, as we open now your word, as we read it together, and as we hear the proclamation of your word, we pray that by your Spirit, you would write it on our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture lesson is taken from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. And we read together there verses 27 through 34. Jeremiah 31, beginning our reading at verse 27. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seeds of humans and the seed of animals. And just as you have watched over them to pluck up and break down, to overthrow, destroy, and bring evil, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall no longer say, the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge, but all shall die for their own sins. The teeth of everyone who eats sour grapes shall be set on edge. And the days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, for this his word to us, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I'm very fortunate. I was brought up in a Christian home. My mother and my father gave me a very good example. I was always taught by them what to do, and I was given an example to do it right. Probably 51 Sundays out of 52, we were found in church. And there probably wasn't a Sunday school that I ever missed, except when I was sick. And I learned there that the psalmist was right when he wrote, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was and am blessed because of where I was born. I know that many people are not born with that kind of a blessing. And frankly, you don't have to look very far. Just coming here to church this morning will remind each of us, indeed, we were blessed and are blessed. We have seen in so many others where their parents were not solid Christian examples, and their lives exemplify that. Jeremiah's vision of a new covenant written on the heart holds out the hope that God loves us enough to free us from such poor examples in life. On our hearts, God can erase bad examples, the poor models, and give us a heart where His law is deeply embedded within us. Ignorance and disobedience of how to live for God had so scarred Israel's history. Again and again we see how they stumble and fall and disobey God, even to the point where they worship and bow down to foreign gods. Jeremiah was a young man when he was called by God to prophesy, to preach. And he was to warn Judah of her wickedness, and so for 25 years he did that. The first 25 years that he did that was, frankly, in an environment that was good, for Josiah was king of Judah. And Josiah was a good king, and he was attempting to bring God's people back to God and to the worship, right worship of God. And so the first 25 years of Jeremiah's ministry were good years. But after the reign of Josiah, Jeremiah was often in danger from political and religious leaders who were angry at him because of the message that he proclaimed. After Jerusalem was destroyed in 586 BC, Jeremiah chose to remain with the people. In fact, as the people were taken in exile to Egypt, Jeremiah elected to go with his people. Jeremiah looked forward to the day when there will be a glorious restoration of God's people. The destruction, the plucking up, will be ended. There will be a season of restoration. The day is coming when God's people will no longer need a list of laws that are written on stone. They will have such a spirit of God's laws, it will be written on their hearts. A distinguished Christian theologian said that character is who you are when no one is looking. Character is who you are when no one is looking. Character is who you are all the way deep down within you. Or as the prophet Jeremiah put it, character is what you have written on your heart. Jeremiah said that for most of us, God's law was simply written on stone. But he says there will be a time when God's law will be written on our hearts, deep within us. Good character is not simply a matter of obeying a set of rules, but it is rather a matter of having this God's Spirit embedded within us. So today's reading from Jeremiah speaks of this new covenant written on the heart, and it is suggesting that some of the most ethical actions we perform, some of the most right things that we say or do, we do it without careful, rational deliberation. We may say that what we did or said was just second nature, because it is written deep within us. What we are saying is that what we did was because a new covenant was written on our heart. God graciously enabled us to do the right thing without having to think about it. Deep within us was divinely implanted sense of what ought to be done, of what ought to be said. And St. Paul was so convinced of that he felt his relationship with Christ was so much a part of him and so deeply embedded in him that he wrote, "The love of Christ controls me. The love of Christ controls me," he wrote. He was an example, a Christian example of how life needed to be lived. He wrote, "Christ is in me." In other words, the early Christians claimed that Jeremiah's prophecy was fulfilled for them in Christ. Sometimes we say, "Well, I know that song by heart." Or we say, "We know a piece of poetry by heart." It's a wonderful, nice expression. It is a testimony that some of the songs or poetry have really become a part of us. They have burrowed deep down within us, so deep that quite honestly, we don't even have to think about it. We just simply know it by heart. And isn't that exactly what is happening here this morning with all of us? Isn't God by His Spirit just simply burrowing deeper within us who He is and what He expects of us? Doesn't that happen not only in as we gather for corporate worship, but in times when we open the Scriptures and read it in our homes, at times when we sit down with a group of people for Bible study, in the Sunday school for our children? God's Spirit is implanting itself deep within our lives. And that's exactly what we do at Camp Warwick for 8 weeks out of the year. For all of the campers that come and the special needs campers that come, we are planting deep within them. We are seeking to put roots down in them of the Word of God so that they don't have to think about how they are to do something, that they know ultimately, immediately what is right, what to say and what not to say. So week after week, summer camp counselors are working at that through stories of the Scripture and frankly through their own example. God is indeed with them, writing on the hearts of the campers His law. It is a divine kingdom experience. What if in those moments when we say, "I didn't really think about it, something within me just knew that it was right"? What if in those moments, those are simply everyday experiences of God's grace? What if our moments when our conscience guides us, we are experiencing God's fulfilling promise to give us a covenant that is written on our hearts? Perhaps the New Testament is shorter, not because the Old Testament has been superseded by the New Testament. No, not at all. But rather because the New Testament was a way not of avoiding God's law, but of fulfilling God's law. Now there is not the need for the long list of ethical prohibitions, a whole set of do's and don'ts. Now the law is a matter of a living relationship that you and I have with Christ Jesus. A new covenant was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. God had previously tried to work that law, but He didn't. Simply with stone written, now He indeed embedded himself in us in Christ Jesus. Jeremiah's law written on the heart is more than mere conscience, more than subjectivity. It is the will of God that is embedded in each of us who are here. The great Catholic novelist Flannery O'Connor protested against the modern tendency to keep faith vague and subjective. One of the effects of modern liberal Protestantism, she wrote, has been gradually to turn religion into poetry and therapy, to make truth vaguer and vaguer and more relative, to banish intellectual distinctions, to depend on feeling instead of thoughts, and gradually to come to believe that God has no power, that he cannot communicate with us, that he cannot reveal himself to us, indeed has not done so, and that religion is simply our sweet invention. This seems to be, she wrote, about where you find America now. And then she goes on, but she said, I am a Catholic Christian and I believe the opposite of all of this. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, found himself in exchange of letters with a young woman, Miss March. She was a deacon, and as deacons, it was her responsibility to not only care for, but also to visit and pray with the poor. And she wrote to John Wesley saying that she found it very difficult. She felt very inadequate to visit with the poor. And Wesley writes to her, go seek the poor and the sick in their own poor little places. Take up your cross, woman. Remember the faith that is yours. Jesus went before you and will go with you. Put off the gentle womanness and bear a higher character, for you are an heir of God. That was his first letter to her, a letter of admonition. And then a letter about 2 years later, she writes she still is having difficulty visiting the poor, being with them. And Wesley responded and said, you know, woman, I find time to visit the sick and the poor, and I must do it if I believe in the Bible. So I am very concerned about you. I am sorry you should be content with lower degrees of usefulness and holiness than you are called to. So Wesley believed that there wasn't much wrong with our relationship with Jesus Christ that couldn't be cured by getting busy with our hands and our minds in the work of Christ, doing what Christ commands us. Jeremiah said it. What God is doing here in this place with each of us, he is writing his new covenant of what he expects of us on our heart. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we are grateful for the prophet Jeremiah, and we are grateful indeed that you are writing your law on our heart in our relationship with Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.